Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Oh, the Camp Town ladies sing this song. Do-da, do-da. Camp Town racetracks 8 miles long. All the do-da-day. Trying to run all night. Trying to run all day. I bet my money on a bobtail nag. Somebody bet on a bay. Oh, the long-tailed filly and a big black horse. Do-da, do-da.
Camp Town Races might be the song most associated with racing, but there's a lot more out there. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and Saturday is the 135th running of the Kentucky Derby, and we will look at a surprising amount of music inspired by horse racing. Also on Soundcheck today, live music in our studio from Montreal's indie rock chamber ensemble, Bell Orquest. But first...
Oh, the Camp Town ladies sing this song, do-da, do-da. Camp Town racetracks 8 miles long, all the do-da-day.
Well, Pete Seeger singing about Camp Town races, Bing Crosby singing My Old Kentucky Home, these are, for many people, the sounds of the Kentucky Derby. And each year, hundreds of thousands of other Americans celebrate the Derby by croaking and warbling their way through Stephen Foster's My Old Kentucky Home. It's a fact that in the middle of the 20th century, horse racing was the biggest spectator sport in the country, and it led to a lot of songs and films and novels about horses and racetracks and the people who worked and gambled there. And joining us to look at the history of horse racing in American popular song is Bennett Liebman. Bennett is executive director of the Government Law Center at Albany Law School. He was a longtime member of the New York State Racing and Wagering Board and is a racing blogger for the New York Times. Hi, Bennett.
Thank you for having me here today, John.
So why is there so much, maybe not now, but as you look past in the 20th century, why is there so much music about horse racing?
I think part of the reason is that the major Tin Pan Alley composers in the second third of the 20th century were devoted horse players. Many of them liked going to the racetrack. And
mean people like Johnny Mercer and Arthur Schwartz and people like that?
More like Julie Stein was a regular. And when you think of some of the entertainers, I mean, Bing Crosby owned horses. He owned part of Del Mar. I don't think there was a picture of Al Jolson taken during the 1930s where he wasn't at a racetrack. I mean, this was America's most popular sport, as you said.
Now, Al Jolson, Bing Crosby, and I believe Judy Garland all sang My Old Kentucky Home together, you know, it's like a single track. Now, despite the fact that hundreds of thousands of people sing that song first Saturday of May, it's not a horse racing song, right?
Hardly.
But Bing Crosby did do horse racing songs. You mentioned Del Mar. He co-founded that racetrack in Southern California.
Jimmy Durante was one of the co-founders as well.
And not only that, having founded this racetrack, he then set out to promote it musically like this. A little jingle from Bing Crosby, where the surf meets the turf, which, Bennett, became sort of the byline, the catchphrase for the racetrack at Del Mar.
They still play it every day before the races start.
They play that song?
Yes.
Wow. So we're talking about the surprising musical history of horse racing in this country. My guest is Bennett Liebman, who blogs about racing for the New York Times and is now a member of the board of the New York Racing Association.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
I gotta say, being a racing fan can be somewhat lonely. Most Americans don't notice horse racing anymore. That's why I like the first Saturday in May when people start singing My Old Kentucky Home and Camptown Races. These songs remind us of a time when horse racing was a big part of American pop culture.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
Bennett, what happened? Why is racing no longer inciting people to write songs and musicals and novels and stuff?
I think those of us involved in horse racing wish we knew. But the main reason is that there are so many more gambling alternatives now. Up until lotteries in the late 60s and really Atlantic City in the late 70s, if you wanted to make a bet other than in Nevada, you had to go to a racetrack. Now that you can bet most anywhere at any time, the lure of the racetrack just doesn't seem to make it. Also, let's face it, no one's ever written a song about OTB.
True enough. And if they did, it would probably be one of those angry punk rock songs as opposed to these, you know, nice ballads and story songs that we'll be hearing. Having fallen off the table in terms of the pop culture discussion in our country doesn't mean that this isn't still a big deal. I mean, in New York State alone, how big a business are we talking about?
I mean, you can get someone to estimate all kinds of financial impacts, but the fact is we know that it's got to be at least 20,000 to 30,000 jobs in New York State, plus for an economy like the Capital District and the area around Saratoga Springs, it's enormous. That area is largely dependent on the horse racing trade, and it's a monumental concern to that area.
The New York Racing Association claims that it contributes over $2 billion, with a B, $2 billion to New York State's urban and rural economies. They actually claim 40,000 employees. That's just in New York State. So it is kind of a big deal. And therefore, you know, like I say, kind of surprising that we have to be looking back to find all of these films and books, you know, Damon Runyon novels and, the characters that fill the racetracks and fill all these songs about racetracks. Is there anything particularly, you know, shadier about the characters on the backstretch than there is, as we're now finding, on Wall Street?
I don't think so. I don't think... that it's any different than looking at baseball these days.
With the steroids, yeah. And stuff. So, you know, there's this musical, which I have to say I've never heard before you, sent me this little clip. A musical called Let It Ride. What's the story here?
Let It Ride was a musical adaptation in 1961 of the show Three Men on a Horse. Again, at 1961, horse racing's at its most popular. How can you miss with a horse racing show based on a popular show starring Sam Levine, who was one of the stars of the ultimate gambling racing show, Guys and Dolls? So you had a show that was where the music's from Livingston and Evans, who did Buttons and Bows and all kinds of movie popular songs.
So it was a can't miss musical.
How can you miss? You had George Gobel.
And what did it do?
61 performances.
So it missed.
Yeah.
but there's this interesting little song called There's Something About a Horse.
What's the condition of the track? Does a jockey make me want to chance it? Does a horse like Mud, has he got good blood? Did he show up good at Narragansett?
Now these questions we can answer. But let us suppose you're thinking of making a small investment in AT&T. How can you figure the odds? Can you ask yourself?
Who's the chairman of the board? Would you bet on the kind of guy that he is? Tell me how the hell can you ever tell what the future of AT&T is?
But you know with horses...
The son of man of war must be as sterling as they come. But the son of a big executive can turn out to be a bum. There's something about a horse that really gets ya. But a fellow who bets a horse, he can go bust. You can feel a horse's leg and look behind and underneath.
You can check his molars and decide when he wear a winner's green.
But you can't walk into Westinghouse and count the boss's teeth.
There's something about us, something about us, something about a horse that you can trust.
Well, there's a song with resonance for our current economic situation. Suddenly, you know, compared to the shady dealings on Wall Street, a bet on a nag seems like a fairly safe investment.
No one was going in to look at Bernie Madoff's books.
But, I wonder why the show closed after only 61 performances. My guest is Bennett Liebman, for many years member of the New York State Racing and Wagering Board, now on the board at NYRA, the New York Racing Association. And we're talking about, and this is great for me, two of my great lifelong passions, music and horse racing. I haven't found a whole lot of musicians, Bennett, who hang out at the track, but there have been a few. There was a guy named Erwin Bazelon, a classical music composer, who, the story goes, got his big break as a composer because he hit a big bet at Aqueduct Racetrack and was able to hire the New York Philharmonic to do a reading of one of his pieces. Aside from that, though, trying to make a connection between classical music and horse racing can be pretty tenuous.
Classical, yes, but the one racing, the one music person you always saw at the racetrack was Cab Calloway. He was always there. It was, I can tell you a story. I get appointed to the New York State Racing and Wagering Board in the winter of 1988. They take me out to the racetrack on one of these miserable days at Aqueduct. It's about 15 degrees, and they're showing us around, and they take us to the roof at Aqueduct. It's freezing. There's Cab Calloway outside on the roof talking to one of the clockers, getting a tip. It was just incredible.
Well, they've named a race after him now.
Well deserved.
So there are certainly connections to be made. But as I was saying, in terms of classical music, if you want to make that connection, you kind of have to go the fake classical route, which is the route taken by Eddie Lawrence in this next clip. Explain Eddie Lawrence's simple little system.
Eddie Lawrence is a bookmaker who is using a simple little system based on the names of composers, so that a bet on Belmont, on Beethoven's Fifth, would be a bet on the fifth race at Belmont.
He's a bookmaker. It's illegal bookmaking, and this is the code.
Simple little system any child can understand. To compose those names we list them with the racetracks of the land. With this simple little system, we'll be close by fortune's door. And to think that no one ever, ever thought of it before. Gentlemen, look at your charts. What is Beethoven?
Belmont Park.
Where's Puccini?
Pimlico.
Who is Humperdinck?
Hollywood.
What is Beethoven?
Beethoven is Belmont Park.
Where is Puccini?
Puccini is Pimlico.
Who is Humperdinck?
Humperdinck is Hollywood.
That is correct. Turn the page. What's Tchaikovsky?
Churchill
Who's Mussorgsky?
Monmouth Park.
What's Rachmaninoff?
It's a Simple Little System is the name of Eddie Lawrence's song, and all eyes will be on Churchill Downs this Saturday for the running of the Kentucky Derby, and we're looking at some of the music, just a little bit, of the music that was made mostly in the mid-20th century, Bennett Liebman, under the influence of horse racing. And, you know, we think of horse racing characters as being kind of Runyon-esque, you know, the seamy underbelly of society. That's in New York. In Kentucky, it's kind of a different thing, right? It's considered very kind of genteel and upper class.
It's part of the fabric of society in Kentucky.
So when Pearl Bailey sings Bluegrass, she's kind of lost out to a horse because horses are so highly prized among the guys that she's after.
That's for sure.
Let's hear a little bit from Pearl Bailey.
Down in Kentucky, a horse is devil a man. A lady in Louisville is only an also-ran. I got a forehead full of frowns since I came to Churchill Downs.
Nice. That's Pearl Bailey and the song Bluegrass. Bennett, what year is that from?
It's 1946, the Schwartz and Dietz musical Inside USA.
So written by Arthur Schwartz, father of Jonathan Schwartz, who you can hear each weekend here at WNYC.
This is arguably the counterpart to his baseball Super Bowl show.
Well, now, you know, that's a question. Is there more music about horse racing, at least until recently, than there was? I mean, weren't there songs about baseball and basketball and various other sports as well?
Now, there are enough about baseball, but basketball is not hasn't really produced a lot of songs unless you like Shaquille O'Neal's rapping.
So there was something about horse racing and perhaps baseball that kind of made them fodder for songwriters.
I'd like to think it's because people have to think when you make a bet in horse racing, and baseball's traditionally been a thinking person's sport.
Now, I've mentioned a couple of times that it seems like we're looking exclusively backwards to get these songs, but Sandra in Brooklyn points out that the one-man alt-rock or indie-rock band Smog has a song called Let Me See the Cults, which she describes as a dreamy musing on ponies and prizes. Let me see the cults that will run next year. Show them to a gambling man thinking of the future. Kind of poetically making your point, Bennett. If you have an idea, a song about horse racing, leave a comment on the soundcheck page of our website, wnyc.org. 1973, Secretariat wins the Triple Crown, Bennett. It's the first Triple Crown in 25 years. He's on the cover of Newsweek, Time, and Sports Illustrated, only time that's ever happened. Is there still horse racing in the air in the early 70s in music?
Not that much. It's really started to fade. There's still a little bit. I mean, but it, again, maybe it's the era of Tin Pan Alley has faded. So there's some music, but it's certainly not what it would have been 15 or 20 years previous.
And so this song by the band, which I have to say, you know, having known this song forever, I had no idea it had horse racing in it, but take a listen.
She bet on one horse to win, and I bet on another to show. The odds were in my favor. I had 'em 5-1. And that nag to win came around the track. Sure enough, we had won. Up on Cripple Creek, and she sends me in my spring a leap. But she wins me. I don't have the speed. She defends me. A drunkard's dream if I ever did see.
The band from the early 70s and up on Cripple Creek, and a horse racing song. Who knew? Bennett Liebman, is the era of horse racing's ascendancy in America, is that just now a thing of the past, never to return, except on Derby Day and perhaps on Breeders' Cup?
Let's hope not. I mean, none of us can really foresee the future. No one would have ever perceived that or believed that horse racing would have been at such a low ebb. And we can only hope that people will understand what a great sport it is at its best.
And do you have a pick for the Derby for us?
A weak pick on Pioneer the Nile.
Ah, the horse going from synthetic to dirt, you're thinking he'll improve.
I like Baffert in this game.
All right, Bob Baffert, the trainer of Pioneer of the Nile. All right, folks, there's your Derby tip for Saturday's game. Bennett Liebman is a racing blogger for the New York Times and a member of the board of the New York Racing Association. Bennett, a real pleasure having you with us today on the show.
It's been my pleasure.
And coming up next, we go from Mediterranean sounds to a grim fairy tale with three new albums in our picks of the week. And later, straight from Montreal, the cinematic chamber pop of this band, Bell Orcast, live in our studio. This is Soundcheck.